We want to welcome you to the Bible teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, where our desire is to honor God by faithful obedience to His Word. If you want to understand the Bible better, please continue to listen. You can reach us with questions or for more teaching audio and print material at our website, fbcaa.org. You can also watch our services live at fbcaa.org/live. We want to thank you for listening and pray that you will be edified.
But this evening, we're going to look back in Proverbs. If you remember from our series in Proverbs, we made it to the end of chapter 9, which is kind of the end of a large section in the book of Proverbs. And if we could summarize it this way, the book of Proverbs, that is chapters 1 to 9, invites the reader to commit to wisdom. Remember how many of the chapters began with, "Listen to my instruction." Heed, listen. That's really how we could summarize then those first 9 chapters. It's really just an exhortation to listen to wisdom, to listen to sound instruction, as opposed to listening to Lady Folly and going down her path, which only leads to destruction. So what about the rest of the book of Proverbs? That's only the first 9 chapters. Well, the way in which we're going to approach then the following chapters, primarily chapters 10 to 29, is that we're going to focus on it in a more thematic way, that is, looking at various topics that the book addresses. Perhaps we could summarize Proverbs 10 to 29 in this way. It trains the committed in how wisdom functions in everyday life. It gives us an idea of where the rubber meets the road. And so it's not only wisdom, but it's really application for us to live out the wise life. And so really the extended speeches that we saw in the first 9 chapters give way to more compact sayings that are short and insightful observations that illuminate how we are to think about realities such as our words or our money or leadership or humility or parenting or how to live as a child under one's the authority of one's parents, those kinds of matters. And so we'll look at a number of those in the weeks ahead as the Lord allows. As you might recall, too, we said for about chapters 1 to 9 that these contain a series of urgent exhortations. Father-son talks, we might say, sitting down and talking to one's child about life, about wisdom. And the way that these chapters were laid out, you would recall that it lends themselves to naturally be more of a expositional series, that is, we could look chapter by chapter and verse by verse through the first 9 chapters. But as we mentioned a moment ago, the next 20 chapters or so are typically approached more thematically. And so, as I said, as we have opportunity, we'll focus on those major themes in Proverbs, such as money and wisdom and folly and children and work and pride and humility. And I might make note that our aim in this setting, that is, these next few weeks, is not to necessarily address every single proverb in chapters 10 to 29. To do that, it would take a long while, and we simply don't necessarily need to do that because we can still give ourselves, I think, a pattern of wisdom in any one of these topics by looking at maybe a smattering of verses that touch on that topic. Of course, I would encourage you to be reading through the Proverbs, and that's one of the reasons I feel like we don't need to touch on every proverb, is because maybe for many of you, you have kind of worked that into your regular pattern of reading, a reading schedule, maybe a chapter a day or something like that. But I would encourage you that whatever topic we address in the coming weeks, that you go and not only read those verses again and think about them more deeply, pray over them, but also find other passages in Proverbs, other proverbs in the book that touch on that topic and, well, glean the wisdom that is there for us to glean from Solomon and the other writers. And so this evening, I'd like for us to focus on this first major theme of humility. Humility. The book of Proverbs consistently contrasts pride and humility. You're probably aware of that. And of course, it's challenging to talk about the topic of humility, the virtue of humility, without mentioning the sin of pride, because, well, sometimes contrasting the one with the other helps us understand what it really means to be humble. And so some of the verses we'll look at this evening aren't exclusively about humility, but really the sin of pride, which should drive us toward seeking the virtue of humility in our lives. Now, I understand in this thematic approach that we'll be taking that this will have some overlapping aspects with Pastor Matt's series on Christian character. And I appreciate that series that he's done. I believe he already did teach on the topic of humility with various sections of Scripture bringing to light that topic. But tonight what I want to do that maybe will dovetail with what he's spoken about is to focus exclusively or almost exclusively on the book of Proverbs and what that teaches on the topic of humility. And that might be a little slightly different aim or direction than what Pastor Matt took there. Now, I want to begin with an illustration, really a kind of a story, so to speak. Not a story, but really more of an illustration to talk about the subject of humility. And I found this in the unpublished notes of a commentary that's going to come out in the months or years ahead. And it has to do, that the illustration is titled this, The Heisenberg Uncertainty Principle and Humility. Maybe you've heard of this Heisenberg Uncertainty Principle. Let me explain it to you if you haven't. The Heisenberg Uncertainty Principle teaches that you cannot precisely know both the position and the speed of a particle at the same time. Once you measure one, the other becomes uncertain. And we might say that humility carries a similar paradox. In other words, the moment you become conscious of your humility, it begins to evaporate. See what we mean there? As you focus on your humility, you begin to lose that, or your perception of actually how humble you are. If you congratulate yourself for being humble, pride has already crept in. Yet the opposite error is no better denying the need for humility is itself an act of pride. Scripture does not avoid this tension. Believers are commanded to pursue humility, yet humility cannot be self-generated by introspection. It must be cultivated indirectly by fearing the Lord and forgetting oneself. Navigating this paradox requires wisdom. And so our goal this evening then is to focus on what Scripture, specifically Proverbs, has to say about humility. And at the same time, not to be so introspective and, you know, feel that, okay, we're good. I have achieved all these marks of humility or outcomes of humility, but rather rely upon God's strength, God's Spirit, to help us cultivate the virtue of humility. And so I've broken up this evening's lesson into four major points this evening with some verses to support it. Number one, humility begins with fear of the Lord or fear of Yahweh. It might be easier for you this evening to jot these verses down rather than try to turn to them all. But let me begin with Proverbs 15:33. It says there, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So this proverb is helping us to understand that really there is an easy connection, a direct connection between the fear of the Lord and the instruction of wisdom. Can we put it this way? Those who are listening to wise instruction understand innately that they must fear the Lord, that there should be reverence toward the Lord. to walk in the instruction of wisdom is to submit to God's ways, to submit to Him. And those who understand that and live by that principle of revering God and listening to sound instruction will also recognize the importance of humility and be exemplifying that kind of humility. As the proverb says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. I think this has a connection to what the Lord says later on in Scripture about God giving grace to the humble or exalting the humble. That is, honor only comes after one is truly humble and is submitted to the fear of the Lord, is submitted to the Lord Himself, is revering Him in their hearts, in their lives. Proverbs 1:7 says, we're familiar with this. This is kind of the pinnacle verse of all of Proverbs that sets the tone and direction of how to walk the path of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, I think we can here make a connection between a fool and the proud person. Likewise, we can make a connection between the humble and the wise. And so the fool here is also one who is proud, because what does he do? He despises wisdom and instruction. So by implication, we could say then, what does the humble or the wise person do? Well, they fear the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So we don't want to be one who is despising wisdom and instruction. Now, we have a number of you young folks out there and who are to be listening to the instruction of your parents, especially godly wisdom. And so, can I put it this way? You can't be unsubmitted to the godly instruction of your parents and at the same time say that you fear the Lord. To fear the Lord means you will willfully submit to the wise instruction of your parents. Humility begins with a fear of the Lord. So if you're going to be humble, which requires you to fear the Lord, then you need to be submitted to your parents' instructions. Listen to them. Proverbs 1:29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Let me turn in my scriptures here to that passage, because I think there's a verse or two around that I wanted to read as well. Proverbs chapter 1. This is in the context of Lady Wisdom calling out to the young, to the simple, to the foolish. And she says in verse 28, then they will call on me. Now, this is after she's called to them and they've despised her. They've not listened. It says, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. That is, the foolish, the simple ones will not find wisdom. Why? Here's the reason, verse 29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Again, I think we can see a direct connection between embracing knowledge is almost synonymous with embracing the Lord, that is, fearing the Lord. And so, by virtue of the fact that they hated knowledge, means that they also chose not to fear the Lord. Those who fear the Lord will embrace knowledge and be humble. You know, why did they hate knowledge? Well, I think we can only surmise it's because they believed they didn't need it in the first place. They didn't need the knowledge that comes from the Lord, that comes from His Word, and so they hated it, thereby also demonstrating that they had no fear of God, no reverence toward Him. Proverbs 3:7, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. To be wise in your own eyes means what? You're filled with pride rather than filled with a humble spirit. It's challenging, is it not, to talk to those who think they know what is right. You know, unteachable, unwilling to think that there's any other possible answer or any could you know that the situation could be any other any different than what they've conjured up in their minds. They've they believe that they're absolutely correct and you are absolutely wrong. Unfortunately, some of us probably faced that even at the art fair, did you not? Those who are wise in their own eyes, lacked any kind of ounce of humility, recognition that maybe in God's world, where he is sovereign and knows all, that maybe, just maybe, they don't know everything about what there is to know about God's world and God himself. Proverbs tells us that to fear the Lord and depart from evil. That is, embrace a reverence toward God, and out of that will flow humility and a recognition that, oh, we're not so wise. We're not so knowledgeable as we think we are. God has something to teach us, or others have something to teach us from God's word. Of course, then there's the passage in the New Testament that I wanted to mention as well, which is 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. Peter writes there, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I found this always an interesting passage because of the connection here of pride. That is, when we humbling ourselves under God's mighty hand means casting our cares upon him, rather than feeling like we can handle them ourselves, in a kind of prideful spirit or a stubborn spirit, versus casting them upon our Heavenly Father who is omnipotent, mighty, the mighty hand of God that can work and act on our behalf. And what is the promise that comes with that? Well, he will exalt you in due time. That is, those who humble themselves, God will in turn honor in his timing and in his way. Humility begins with a fear of Yahweh. That's really why true humility is really hard to see in our world today, I think. There are people that have a what seems to be a spirit of humility, but they're really, maybe trying to kind of go undercover and not be in the spotlight, but because they have some ulterior motive in mind, or maybe they like the attention of some false humility that's they're parading about with. True humility begins though with a fear of Yahweh. Number two, humility welcomes correction. We've already alluded to this a little bit in the verses we touched on, but Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now, again, we're focusing a little bit on the pride aspect here just for a moment. There's a cautionary tale here in this verse, Proverbs 16:25, that there is a way that seems right to a man. Maybe as a parent you've seen this unfortunately in your child, or maybe in your own past life. Maybe some self-reflection where you believe that that if you do this, that the certain outcome will be this, or that your way of living is fine. It can't lead to destruction, But the way I like to live, the things I like to do, this sin in my life, certainly won't have any detrimental outcome on my life. But what does the proverb tell us? The consequence. The end is the way of death. I think there's also in this verse not even just the day-to-day activities that we might think about being right to a man, but really the moral aspect of all of mankind, that they believe the path they are walking down is the right way. Think of all of the worldviews that we come across at the art fair. All of the belief systems. There is a way that seems right to a man. That is, they are certain that their beliefs are the right view and will have the right outcome that they're looking for, the right answer. But it's, as the proverb says, but its end is the way of death. Any wise person then will welcome correction. Any humble person will welcome correction. It's a It's a breath of fresh air in terms of evangelism when it seems God is working in someone and they actually are willing to listen and reason. Show some humility that maybe you have something that you can offer them from God's word that actually affects them and relates to them. And it's true in the day-to-day activities too. You know, those who are actually willing for you to talk some sense into them, who welcome correction, who aren't just stubborn and say, I'm right and you're wrong. No, don't talk to me. I don't want to hear it. Proverbs 21:2, on the topic, on the idea that humility welcomes correction. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. That's similar to the one we just read. Proverbs 26:12, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. It's an interesting verse there because, again, if we make the connection between a fool and a pride man, proudful man, then you know he's really just digging into the fact that you know a person who is wise in his own eyes, well, there's more hope for him than a fool. That is, maybe there's a kind of fool out there that'll actually listen to some instruction. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is what? Wise. He who heeds counsel is wise. In other words, the wise person will listen to many counselors. That's in fact kind of another proverb that we find there in the book of Proverbs, that a wise man surrounds himself with a multitude of counselors. He's willing to listen. Again, for you young folks out there, you enter into different stages of life. Maybe you're still in the home, still a teenager, or maybe now in college, or thinking about what's after college. Listen to the counsel of those around you. Heed their counsel. They have life experience. They have experience from good experience. Maybe that is, you know, things they've learned from others, or maybe experience through consequence. Listen to them. Be wise. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. I think there's an interesting principle here that those who scoff are demonstrating that they have no humility in their hearts. You know, a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. That's the challenge of, you know, working with someone who's proud that maybe continues to make the same mistakes time and time again. And every time you try to rebuke them, give them sound wisdom, they just scoff at it. Maybe because they cherish their sin, maybe because they cherish, their self-importance, their ego. You know, if I listen to that instruction, people are now going to think of me more poorly. Maybe they're not going to think of me as the person that I'm trying to demonstrate myself as, you know, because I have a certain kind of, people have a certain kind of perception of me. And if I humble myself and admit that I'm wrong, well, then that perception is going to vanish. Rather, we should be humble and say, it doesn't matter what people perceive about me. What's most important is that I live rightly before God and I listen to this rebuke. Change my ways. Humble myself and trust that in time God will honor that. Proverbs 10:8, the wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. In other words, pride resists input, but humility welcomes it. So can we turn the question this way? Are you one to listen quickly to the input of others? Or do you resist it often? Do you listen? Do you resist? Do you thank those who correct you? Or do you kind of grate your teeth in frustration, or walk away and quickly forget what you've been told? Listen. Humility welcomes correction. If you're not welcoming correction, then, well, there's probably a lack of humility in your heart as well. And mine too, for that matter. Number three, humility honors others and doesn't demand praise. Number one, just to review, humility begins with a fear of Yahweh. Number two, humility welcomes correction. Number three, humility honors others and doesn't demand praise. Proverbs 25, 6 and 7 says, "Do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the place of the great, for it is better that he say to you, 'Come up here,' than you should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen." It's an interesting passage here, but kind of a royal kingly proverb here. You could imagine standing in a throne room where you exalt yourself to a place of honor, a chair of honor, or maybe at a table where the king is present. And you've kind of self-imposed yourself into that place of honor. And what the proverb is teaching us is it's better for you to find a place of, put yourself in a position of humility, last in line, so to speak, and allow the king, the ruler, the one who has more authority or more honor, to raise you up to a place of honor, move you up a chair or two, than to have the other, to have the opposite happen to you, where you've placed yourself in a position of honor, and now, well, the king says, no, you don't belong there, and now you have to kind of go to the end of the line, to the end chair. In other words, humility honors others. In that situation, what are you doing when you put yourself in a place of honor? Well, you're saying everyone else is less important than me. This position is reserved for me. This, of course, is where I belong. Rather than saying, no, look at the others. They deserve much more honor than I do. A humble spirit about yourself. A good introspection that, others deserve this honor before I do. And then be pleasantly surprised, we might say, and humble at the same time, when you're honored. When you're asked to do something important. When you are recognized, and encouraged and commended for something you've done. Applying that to, ministry, we're not to, be looking for the honor in what we do, but really just humble servants of the Lord, unprofitable servants, as Luke says. Just going from one place of service to the next, one duty to the next, not because we're looking for some honor in this, but because that's what God has called us to. And let the Lord honor, let others honor you. In due time, in due season, in the right way, rather than seeking that honor yourself. Proverbs 27:2, "Let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips." It's very unbecoming for you to be going about, for me to be going out and praising ourselves, for what we've done. But wow, can it be tempting to do that? You go long enough in some responsibility, whether it be in your home, maybe as a wife or as a husband, and you go about doing your duties as a husband and wife, and loving and submitting and respecting, and you begin to think, I haven't been very appreciated about this lately, and so it's easy to begin to praise yourself. To bring up the things you've done and say, look what I did today, or look what I've been doing, and seek those kinds of affirmations rather than letting your spouse praise you or someone in ministry or whatever the case may be. The person that's seeking praise anyways isn't being humble and isn't concerned then really about the other persons or persons, but rather, about themselves. And so as the proverb says, let another man praise you and not your own mouth. At the end of the day, God sees. He will honor that, whether it's here on earth or someday in heaven with reward. And, perhaps the moment you begin to praise yourself, well, now you've lost a little bit of reward, we might say, because of how you're seeking, that attention from it. Proverbs 27:21, "The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, and a man is valued by what others say of him." Not what he says of himself, but what others say of him. And so we don't demand the praise of others. We humble ourselves. We honor others before ourselves and trust the Lord that He will reward in due time. And that brings us to our fourth point this evening. Humility is rewarded. You might say, you know, what reward is there in being humble? You look at the people, you know, successful people in business, you know, maybe people in your own workplace, and those who have a measure of confidence and really pride and, you know, kind of assert themselves into places of prominence. You might think, well, they're always being rewarded. They're always being recognized. You know, I'd like some of that recognition. And maybe, you know, by a little more confident and pride, you know, pride-filled spirit, I can kind of get that recognition. You know, kind of assert my abilities, my skills and in a way that, you know, others will praise, and maybe with that will come reward. But, well, Scripture teaches us, in reality, it's humility that is rewarded, not pride. Proverbs 11:2 says this, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. I'm trying to think of the proverb now, and I can't off the top of my head, but there's a proverb that teaches us that, you know, people who see someone who is wise, there's an attraction to that wisdom. And so when we humble ourselves and when we walk in humility and demonstrate, therefore, wisdom, there's actually a sense that people will be attracted to that kind of character quality and that wisdom. And in that sense, you actually are being honored rather than the prideful person whose end is shame. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Do you believe that? That with humility and a fear of God, that you will have all your needs supplied, that you will receive honor in due time, and there will be life with that kind of way of living, of humility and fear of God. I hope so. That's what Scripture teaches us. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. And then Proverbs 16:19, better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Maybe this seems contrary to the heading of this point of humility is rewarded. You know, when the proverb here says the humble spirit, better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. But may I remind you that that God will in turn bless you. You know, you may not have all of the things that those who are prideful have at their disposal. But you know what? At the end of the day, you'll have joy. You'll have life. You'll have contentment. You'll have your needs met. You'll eat that bread with, and it'll taste sweet to you. You'll savor it because you didn't get it by means of stealing or whatever other means that the proud may use. And so better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. So as we come to a close here this evening, can I encourage us to fear the Lord, to welcome correction, to honor others and not demand praise, and to trust that the Lord indeed will exalt the humble. He will reward, and He will give the praise that is due and the time that is due. And so, just be humble. Don't think of yourself highly, but think of our Heavenly Father and who sent His Son, who what? Humbled Himself, taking on the form of a man and humbling Himself even to the point of death. You know, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace, the One who is exalted in heaven and praised by the angels coming, where He wasn't exalted, where He wasn't praised, you know, put to death as a common criminal. That's humility, my friends, and may we exemplify that humility as well. We're going to think of our Savior who did the same. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to have a humble spirit to listen to correction and not respond in anger when we're rebuked, because that anger is an outward manifestation of inner pride in our hearts, resisting. So, Lord, any of us this evening, myself included, when we resist in that way with anger, maybe just kind of turn the other way or walk away or stop our ears, so to speak, may we put to death that kind of spirit, mortify the flesh in that way and welcome correction. Lord, may we consider whether we're truly fearing you if we're walking in pride. And also, Lord, may we be slow to exalt ourselves, honor ourselves seeking praise, but rather in humble service, honor others, honor you. And Lord, just do the work that you've called us to, whatever sphere of life, whether it be our work or family or ministry. May we not seek praise at all in any of this. In Jesus' name, amen.